It has been a long time. I actually genuinely don't even know how long it's been. My life for the last 6 to 12 months has been completely all over the place. I've been planning things and new ventures, analyzing existing businesses, figuring out what to do moving forward. You see, I turned the big juicy age of 30, and it made me realize that actually I have been head down, grafting, working incredibly hard for like 14 years at that point. You know, my first business was 16. And every single time, you know, I've had a success or a failure, I've rolled into the next one, into the next one, into the next one. And at 29, I started kind of sitting there thinking, you know, in a year's time, you know, I'm going to hit 30. And there's so much stuff that I want to do. I feel like I had created this sort of like business network and this amount of companies. And I wasn't really almost leaning into the fruits of my labor, right? Almost kind of building and utilizing what I built. So loads happened, right? And kind of on this podcast, I'm going to explain kind of what's been happening the last 12 months, kind of the future plans I've got, and kind of what's happening in present day. You see, it's been such a long time. With this podcast, we did 130 odd episodes or whatever it was. And now we're pulling it all back. We're pulling it all back for two reasons. Number one, to give myself a sounding board. You know, as I said many times in this podcast is actually also for my own mental clarity, my own note-taking, my own processing of what I've been through. But it's also so you guys can follow me on the journey as well and learn from some amazing individuals along the way. So quick summary, what's happened real quick? I mean, look, November. So let me go back a little bit further. You know, Jeremy Hunt, Rishi Sunak, the Conservative government in the UK planned to increase taxes. They were going to move corporation tax from 19% to 25%. And across our business portfolio, that kind of makes quite a big impact, right? You're literally increasing, I think it works out like a 30% actual increase in corporation tax, as well as huge amounts of inflation in the UK and keeping tax thresholds on income tax and dividend tax at the same. What it meant was a real tax increase for individuals and businesses. So, you know, as a business owner and an entrepreneur who's always starting new things, always trying to create new things, an increase of taxes means one simple thing, right? It means that it's removing the incentivization to start something new. So with that in mind, you know, I'm going around speaking to business partners, speaking to my dad, speaking to my accountant, being like, look, find me a way to incentivize me to do something new. Because when taxes go up, it simply means like you feel less incentivized to do more. And then that kind of just was a muttering and a mumbling in my brain and speaking to Brad and my other business partners. And I was tempted to go and dabble with, I think it was the Bali Nomad Visa. You could literally move to Bali, pay no tax for 12 months and then kind of come back to the UK. And it would mean two things, right? I get to go and discover a new part of the world. But what I also was able to do is, you know, incentivize me to kind of go again, you know, because the problem with taxes increases, to speak very bluntly, is if you lose and the business fails, you lose money. If you win and the business succeeds, you have a big tax bill, right? So that was kind of like where I was sat, is like I'd move to Bali, kind of travel a little bit, have some fun, and, you know, have a new incentivization to start again. And then in November, I was dragged to Dubai. When I say dragged, I mean dragged to Dubai. I didn't want to come here. Dubai in my head was everything that I didn't want to be involved with. Huge amounts of influencers, pictures everywhere you go, flashy. It's completely against my personality, my status quo. But I got dragged to Dubai, and within about 4 days, I realized that everything that I thought it was a lie. It was almost as if the media and the narrative in the West was almost to be anti this part of the world to stop individuals coming here. Within 3 or 4 days, I text Brad and said, look, Brad, we need to move to Dubai. It's a happening place. It's incredible. The things that are happening in this location are amazing. And Brad had the same opinion as me. He was like, I don't know, bro. Like, it's not really kind of our vibe. And I was like, look, in January, I'm going to drag you out here. I'm going to show you what it's about. And you'll understand what I'm talking about. So January came along. Brad came out. And I would say within the first day, maybe second day, he realized the same thing as me, that Dubai was the happening place. It was a place where people come to level up. And that's, a lot of people see it as like where the ultra rich go. I kind of disagree with that statement. I think it's where every single individual, any part of their life is trying to level up. It doesn't matter where they are on that journey, on that kind of ladder, they're all trying to level up. And Brad figured that out pretty quickly when he was here with me as well. And then we got back in between mid-January and March the 26th. We just said to our team, our business partners, we're moving to Dubai. Let's play out a roadmap. And the roadmap was fast. You know, thankfully, we've been working with, you know, our accountants and tax advisors and solicitors, you know, over a long period of time. So we could move really, really quickly. And March 26th, me and Brad moved out to Dubai to continue on our business journey and continue on what we've been doing for the last, together, 9 years or so. And it was really, really exciting. And what have I learned since being here so far? It's that every single person in this city, in this region, is just trying to do something big. The conversations you'd have in the UK would be, oh, I'm trying to raise $1 million, or I'm trying to sell for $2 million. The conversations that happen in this city is, I'm trying to raise $10 million, I'm trying to sell for $1 billion, right? So the whole mindset is so much bigger. And the best thing with a mindset that is so much bigger is it levels up your mindset. It grows your thought process. It gives you a whole level of incentivization, drive you just never would have thought was possible. And that's kind of gone into kind of our own narrative and our own businesses. Our genuine reason for coming to Dubai was to relax a little bit more, travel the world, and run Dubai as a UAE office as well, to obviously maintain what we do from the marketing standpoint. But it was really to get away from the UK tax system and travel the world and meet new people. And from being here, I would say that's been very difficult to do because it is such a driven place. You know, obviously me and Brad have sat here and had some amazing kind of ideas and conversations with individuals, which has kind of re-sparked the entrepreneur DNA we've got within us and something that we were losing whilst being in the UK. And I think that's kind of a lesson to many people who are sitting in the UK or the West in general right now. It's that, you know, if you are sitting in a location where you are, I don't know, you're not struggling. Struggling is the wrong word, but you're very much sat there and you're stagnant, you know, and you do need a new lease of life. I think a shakeup is what is required for most people. You know, we all can run around, do our day job, you know, get pretty bored of doing it after 5 or 6 years. And I think the best thing for people to do, probably under the age of 35, is to just grab your life and shake it. Like almost like those, you know, those Christmas dome things, right? You just shake it all up and see what lands. And I think that's what we've essentially done in a roundabout way is we picked up our life from the UK. We've come across to Dubai and we've shaken our globe and we've seen what's landed. And I genuinely mean this when I say it, it's probably the best decision I've ever had in my life to move to this part of the world. Everybody is so much, seems so much nicer. The cultures and all the different blend of cultures is great to see. Your whole worldview changes. And it feels quite sad that I've spent such a long time in the UK and not experienced that. So kind of, you know, if I'm looking at the last 6 to 12 months of this journey so far, I would say, if you haven't been to Dubai, get to Dubai. I think every narrative that you have in your head is probably a lie and you have to experience it for yourself. Every single time I hear a narrative negative about this place, I just say, have you visited? And 9 times out of 10, they haven't. So pick yourself up, come across, maybe have a podcast with me. You know, let me know when you're over here, drop me an Instagram DM or Twitter or something and kind of let's catch up. And the great thing that I've seen and the reason that I'm pushing on with this podcast again is because Dubai is a place of transit. Dubai is a place people are always coming through it. And, you know, the next few episodes I have with Mitch Clayton, who is an amazing entrepreneur that I've known for a couple of years now and never met. He came to Dubai just to kind of see what it's all about. And I shoved him on the podcast and that'll be in a few episodes time. And then I had Daniel Priestley, who is obviously the world renowned, you know, guy who basically created influencer marketing and personal branding, and had him on the podcast as well. And these are all conversations and podcast episodes that wouldn't have happened sat in Lincoln, right? These are all conversations of podcasts where you had to be in a place where people want to visit. They want to be in a thriving, booming economy. And that's exactly what Dubai has to offer. So what else has happened? Other things that have happened have been pretty simple for me. Like we've looked at our business portfolio and we've decided to slim it down slightly. You know, when you're running, I think we have six companies or so. When you're running six companies, there are some that are more strained and stressed than others. There are some that don't really have the upside versus the effort. You know, we call it, I guess it's risk reward, right? It's like you look at it and go, how much graft have I got to put into this business to make how much, you know, profitability or income or however you want to judge it, or the exit. And many of the companies we had were a lot of stress, a lot of graft, that weren't producing the rewards and the goods that we had in mind. So we have slimmed down our portfolio. So some of the companies that we no longer operate in is Lovejoy Media. So our partnership with Tim Lovejoy, Tim wanted to focus more on doing TV and that side of things. We wanted to focus more doing digital and that side of things. And look, when you've got a business partnership where two individuals are wanting to drive in different directions, look, the obvious thing is to go, look, cool, it's been an absolute pleasure working with you. You've been amazing. But two different mindsets, two different aims. We move on with our lives. So it was a great business. It was pretty profitable, to be honest with you. But one of those things where it's just like not worth the headache, right? Not worth the different thought processes and drives. So we've parted ways. Tim's going to continue doing his TV pieces in the UK. I'm going to continue living in the digital world. Fine. We move on with our lives. Rippled, our mortgage company. We moved, obviously, to Dubai. And our business partners made us a good offer. They just said, look, guys, we want to make you an offer. We were limited in what we could do from a marketing standpoint anyway. Mortgages, finance, highly, highly regulated industry. It was under a regulatory body as well, which meant that every single time we did any mortgages or any marketing, we had to have them approved and signed off. Look, it made sense. We don't think we could have put any more time or graft with our expertise to grow it. We had a good offer. We accept the offer. We move on with our lives. So there's been a few where we've just literally kind of sat down and been like, look, let's just kind of roll these in, generate some cash, and then reinvest it in other areas. So that's been kind of what's been happening with our portfolio. In terms of like actually new projects whilst being out in Dubai, we've, you know, I like to look at, I call it the dirt. So you look at a location in Dubai and you go, okay, cool. What's been the dust and what's come out of it? And if you break it down in that real literal sense, you go, cool. There was dirt, there was dust, and then hospitality came. You know, and loads of hotels came, loads of beach clubs and bars and restaurants all came. And anyone who got into that space in the really early days did pretty well, right? You know, if you were one of the first hotel chains here, you did pretty well for yourself. Then it became kind of like entertainment, and then it became white-collar jobs. And this has kind of been the whole process. And then I had a meeting with one of my clients from the UK who's just moved to Dubai. And she's in the kind of the educational sector, the kind of university college sector. And I kind of drove out there and I just saw dust. I just saw dust and dirt. And she told me the plan is simple. They're going to be building, you know, loads more universities on the university campuses here. They want to attract more students. They want to attract more people who want to learn. They want to make this a real driven capital for education. So I do what any entrepreneur does and I go, cool. So what is the university system missing here that is in every single other part of the world? So myself and Brad are planning out a whole technology business around the university sector, which we've kind of been planning and building out now. And then we're also looking at some of the joint ventures that obviously come with part of the parcel of me meeting people and shaking hands. What do I think we'll move ahead with first? I don't know. There's lots of plates spinning. But obviously, as they roll out, I'll update you on the podcast. But yeah, I think you know we've come out here with the right intentions, which is to continue our kind of business journey and our growth and continue kind of cracking on. And I think that's really, really important. I think many people kind of lose track of the aim when life gets easy. You know, you build your businesses, you kind of crack on with your companies, and then all of a sudden you get comfortable and you stagnate. So that's kind of like where we're at now. And you know, what have I done recently? I've just come back from Bali. Bali was absolutely amazing. Met some really nice people out there, really relaxing environment. And then I'm flying out to Thailand with Brad in like a week's time. Again, just because it's A, really, really hot in Dubai right now, but B, I want to travel the world. You know, I want to meet new cultures. That's the thing that Dubai's really taught me. It's that there's so many cultures that I just haven't had a chance of seeing and meeting. And I think it's crucial that you do that. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of a swift update of what we've been doing and what we've been moving on with. In terms of kind of, you know, the two of the reasons you guys listen to this podcast, I want to kind of go over what I believe marketing is happening right now. And marketing is in a really interesting place. You know, I think, you know, we've seen the huge, huge upswing in the last kind of 5 to 10 years of influencers. You know, influencer marketing was the actual amazing thing that people did to grow their businesses. And I've been very, very public on this on LinkedIn. I'm very, very public within client and prospect meetings. So I think the influencer move is actually slowly dying off. I think influencer marketing actually isn't the channel that most people should be putting their cash in anymore. What I think is the real investment and the real strategy is ambassador marketing. And what I mean by that is rather than having an individual that works with you, you know, for a post or a couple of posts and moves on with their lives. I mean, really bringing an ambassador, you know, who owns part of the company, who or has a percentage of the revenues or profitability, and is there to drive the company forward over the kind of 2 or 3 years. For me, that kind of makes most logical sense for kind of long-term business strategy. And that's what I'm kind of looking at when it comes to our clients or our businesses moving forward. And look, that comes with a lot of problems and a lot of headaches. Biggest headache is, how do I find these individuals? Or how do I open dialogue? And the kind of the way that I'm opening dialogue and doing that right now is speaking to really connected individuals. You know, look, you could easily go on Instagram right now. You could, you know, you could message a few people and be like, oh, cool, I've got this product, this brand, I'd love to be an ambassador. But they're going to get like 1,401 of those every single week, right? So what I think the best strategy is to find connectors, find individuals who know these people really, really well, who communicate with them on a regular basis, who are almost their friends, right? And speak to them, get them sold to the idea, and then allow them to kind of go and make contacts and make communication with them and kind of move forward that way. And that's what I've been doing in Dubai. Again, Dubai is a great place for people who know people. Because a lot of people transit through here, therefore a lot of people get to know individuals all over the world. So, you know, I'm speaking to a lot of connectors right now and say, look, I need an individual like this, with this sort of following, this sort of clout, for this project. And then they kind of bring people towards me and say, this person's interested, this person isn't interested, this person's great, this person isn't great. And just kind of opening a dialogue that way. And I think that is a really, really good strategy that you should all be doing kind of over the next kind of 12 to 24 months. And then a lot of questions I've had, you know, on LinkedIn especially, very, very recently has been about Threads. Threads is, for me, fascinating for two reasons. First and foremost, look, it's a blatant attack on Twitter. We all know that. But for me, it's more interesting in a sense that Mark Zuckerberg has tried to create copycat brands for the last 5 to 10 years, right? And every single one he's tried to create has absolutely failed. They failed so spectacularly that you wouldn't even know what they're called, right? But if you go away and you type in, you know, Mark Zuckerberg side projects or Mark Zuckerberg's new social networks, there's loads. And he would, you know, when he tried to buy Snapchat, he tried to create a direct copy, it failed. He tried to create a direct copy of TikTok, it failed. So what has he done time and time again once these businesses fail? What he does is he moves the key feature from that platform into his existing channels. So for example, with Snapchat Stories, he moved it into Instagram Stories. With TikTok, he just brought Instagram Reels, right? So he's always just been like, oh, I can't compete with my new platform, so I'll just shoehorn it into my existing empire, which is fine. What he's done with Threads is actually more fascinating, because I think what he's done is he's now found a new, interesting way of captivating that audience. And what he's really done is he's gone, I know if I launch Twitter 2.0, it's going to fail, because every single time I've done it before, it's failed. I've just been over this. But if I make it so it's linked to Instagram, the user goes on, they click one button, and all their followers and all their following come across, it means that no one starts from zero. And that no one starts from zero is really crucial for two reasons. Because if no one starts from zero, it means every single Instagram influencer instantly has their clout, right? They instantly have the dopamine hits. They instantly have the audience that they want. Now, if you had, I don't know, some mid-ranked influencer, 200,000 followers on Instagram, and you had a platform, Twitter 2.0, where they started from zero, do you think they'd be on it right now? I genuinely don't think they'd be on it right now. I think they'd be like, oh, it's another platform I've got to put effort into. I've got to grow it. It's really difficult. I need to get some more content, la, la, la. But if that influencer, click of a fingers, they instantly have 50,000 followers on Threads, that influencer is going to click a button and they're going to port across. So I think it's fascinating because I've seen two things. I've seen individuals and kind of marketing gurus saying, go and attack Threads. It's your chance to build a big audience. I don't think it actually is. I think it's already closed off because no one starts from zero. Now, if everyone started from zero, you're all starting from zero. You can get in the trends. You can start with the algorithms. You can start building content and you can start trying to break out. But because I went onto Threads and I instantly had 200 people I followed, my feed is already pretty populated. I'm not going to see your content. So I think it's an interesting play from Zuck. I think that it means that he's now got a new platform for advertisers. So it's great for advertisers. But I think for the individual who is trying to create a clout and a following, I think it's pretty, pretty appalling. I don't think it'll fail. Don't get me wrong. I think it's going to be a great channel, but I think it'll be a great channel in a sense that it'll be a distribution channel for big brands and influencers. I think Twitter will remain as the location for news, conversations, in-depth chats, you know, that side of thing. I think that will remain the news source. And I think Instagram will, sorry, Threads will almost be like, look how great my life is, but rather than a picture, it'll be a thread. Look at that how you will, you know, probably fits Meta's narrative better from an advertising standpoint. But Zuckerberg needed this W, to be honest with you. He needed this win because his stock's been performing terribly. Advertising CPMs are increasing dramatically. He simply needed another channel. So yeah, that's kind of like my thoughts on Threads. But what does this mean for the average person who's trying to build a brand? It means it's harder, you know, as always. It's getting more and more difficult to start from zero and become something. It always will do because there's more people, get more market share, put more content out, attack on more channels. It means the person like you and I, we're going to have a bigger fight on our hands. So that's kind of like my rough initial thoughts of Threads. Everyone's saying that, you know, it's amazing to see the growth. It's not really been growth. Threads could literally have been another tab on Instagram. It just so happened that it wasn't. So I don't know. I don't think he deserves the applause he's had. To be really honest, I think it's going to be just another spam feed for brands and influencers. So I don't think I'll spend much time there. But yeah, so I mean, that's kind of like a quick summary of all the things that have been going on in terms of personal growth and kind of the things that I've been learning about myself by being over here. It's been fascinating, to be honest with you. I've really learned a lot by myself about how I interact with new individuals and how I interact with people from different cultures, and kind of my viewpoint from the world has dramatically changed, to be honest with you. The UK is very, very closed off. It's in a terrible place right now. And one of the biggest things I can implore you all do is just turn off the news, to be really honest with you. And I did this unknowingly by moving to Dubai. By coming to Dubai, I just realized that I wasn't watching or listening to the news as much. I realized that I was just doing my thing, meeting new people, and being busy at doing that, right? The days here go super quick because you're constantly out, you know, you're meeting new people, you're doing it at different events. And because of that, you don't have time to watch 15-minute, 20-minute news cycles, of which is just pure negativity all the time. And it genuinely gets you down. So the things I've been doing more of has been less news, meeting new people, going to the gym more, eating better, you know, and these have all been things that have really kind of uplifted my mood and uplifted my tempo. And look, that's not to say that I was in a bad place. I was doing brilliantly. To be honest with you, I was fine mentally. I felt sharp. But there's a whole new level that I didn't even experience and understand existed when you start actually realizing that the news cycle is a constant depression on the rest of the world. So that's one thing I'd tell a lot of people is kind of remove yourself from the news cycle. 95% of things that are on the news, A, you can't control, and B, won't impact you. Like, they just won't impact you. So what's the point of even knowing about them? Which may, a lot of you might think, okay, cool, Pete, you're just closing yourself from the news for, you know, you're hiding yourself from negativity. Yeah, and you know what? I think that's perfectly fine. I think it's perfectly fine to remove yourself from any negative positions because it does nothing but bring you down and kind of alter your life. So that's kind of my big top tip for you is just like remove yourself from the news source and travel more. And look, so a few things that I want to kind of spit out, I suppose, and kind of like hone in more is these podcasts are not going to be consistent like at all. These podcasts are going to be very much focused on things that I want to talk about at that specific time and with people that I think are great individuals. You know, Daniel Priestley, who's the next podcast that you'll see come out, absolutely fascinating man. Like genuinely, I've been following Daniel for probably 7 years. I've seen him speak live. I've read all his books. I've listened to him on various different podcasts. The guy is a really good signpost for what's happening in the world or where the world's moving. And, you know, I got the chance to speak to him for an hour about where he believes marketing's going, where he believes the influencer landscape is, and what he really believes happening next. And you know, Daniel's really big into AI right now, really big into machine learning. And he kind of played out his forecast of what he thinks is actually going to happen. Like, and it's the final, I think it was 15 minutes. I've looked at the edit. I think it's 15 minutes. The final 15 minutes of that podcast episode with the next one that comes out is genuinely some of the most incredible content I've ever listened to. Like, and the wildest thing that I need you to understand when you listen to that podcast is I was obviously sat opposite him asking the questions, and I was just sat there in awe for about 10 minutes of it. Like genuinely just like, this guy has just predicted the next probably 10 to 20 years of humanity and what he believes needs to happen to solve it and what he believes has to happen to keep the world equal. And he spoke about how we physically had to build the middle class and the whole and the AI movement is going to remove the middle class and what we have to do to maintain it, and where he believes kind of that is going to drive forward. And look, I'm huge pro in Dubai, and he gave some reasons why he kind of was a bit not anti Dubai, but he was like, you know, these are the things that are the problems here, you know, and they're kind of often overlooked, and here's the problems with the West, and if we did this, it would be much equal throughout the world. So I'd really implore many of you to, you know, if you don't listen to another podcast episode, definitely listen to his one. Fascinating stuff. I went over his books, his thesis, where he believes the world's going, but most importantly, that final, I think it was 15, 20 minutes, was just literally insane. You know, I'm actually thinking about releasing that as a standalone piece of content in itself, just that final 15, 20 minutes, because it, you know, it really was amazing stuff. And the podcast after that with Mitch Clayton, you know, Mitch, you know, ex semi-professional football player, you know, he played for Blackpool, who I think they were Premier League team, and kind of what that did to his mindset, and then how he got a dead end job, you know, like a call center, and then how he broke out of that and sold a jewelry business, and then now his multi-million pound marketing agency and how he's built that. And you know, he's got offices all over the world, he's got clients all over the world, you know, he's really doing something pretty good. He's only been going for a year and a half, 2 years now, and he's built a really, really, really great business. And look, what he's done is great, and I implore you guys to do the same thing, have a look at his business. But he's focused on one key area, and he's done it really, really well. You know, like he's gone for email marketing, he's gone for email outreach, and you know, he does nothing else. He just absolutely hones the skill, absolutely, you know, make sure that what his team do and what his team deliver are absolutely the best at what they do. And because of that, you know, it means that they are the number one in the market. It means that you go to nobody else but them, and it means that you can't compete with his level of knowledge in that space. And that genuinely is one of the issues I've had with Distracted, the marketing agency, is that because we are full service and we have individuals who are doing all areas of the marketing world, you know, it means you're scattered. You know, me as a kind of, a director of that business, and like, I like to think of marketing thought leader, it means that I'm thinking about influencer one minute, and then I'm thinking about paid search the next, and I'm thinking about PR the next minute. Like, you know, it really takes a lot of time to graft and get into the nitty gritty of that and understand what's going on. Whereas you speak to Mitch and you go, what's working in email right now and outreach? And he just gives you the answer straight away. Probably hasn't had to do too much depth into it because it's literally what he does every single day. And I think it's pretty fascinating. You know, I call it on-track businesses, where you build something, you automate it pretty well, and you put it on tracks. And once it's on tracks, you just have to fund and funnel the machine. You know, when you only do one thing, you do it really, really well, you add more gas to that machine and it just keeps on going. Whereas, you know, in a traditional marketing agency like Distract, it's like you're doing paid search the next, so you automate that, you get it going how it needs to go, and then the next minute you're picking it off the track, and you're then putting it onto the paid social track, and you've got to do it that way. So you're very much moving. So any of you know, guys or girls who are within the marketing space, I think it's, you know, if I was to do it all again, I would say doing a simple one specific thing on tracks, drive it forward, would probably make most sense in this day and age. And email seems pretty good for that. And then, you know, the other topic you guys like me talking about is crypto. Obviously, I've been in crypto now since 2016. Been talking about it actively on this podcast since day one. My viewpoint is pretty simple. I think, you know, I've been doing nothing but buying since 2016. Never sold one sat, one Bitcoin, nothing. I honestly think it's the future. I don't have anything else other than Bitcoin and Stacks, which is basically the smart contract on top of Bitcoin. And for me, like, it's just a very simple time. You know, where do I think it's going to go? I think we're going to go into the halving in a pretty good place, which is next year. And then I think the Bitcoin bull run will be something you've never seen before. You know, I'm not promoting you guys to buy. You know, it's just for my own updates, my own documenting my own journey. But for me, this is an incredible once in a generation opportunity. And I think we're now looking at regulation being brought in across the America, which is obviously one of the biggest driving forces. And we're going to see some amazing things come out the back of it. We're seeing an ETF, you know, floodgate opening, where everyone's going to be bringing out their kind of own ETFs where you can buy Bitcoin in a spot. So I think, you know, once BlackRock are getting involved and Vanguard are getting involved and these big institutions in America and the rest of the world are getting involved, I think it's a no-brainer. We know where it's going to go. You know, BlackRock is not creating an ETF just for fun. You know, they're building an ETF because they know the price is going to go up. So, you know, do what you want with that information. I continuously buy. Some of our businesses continuously buy. I just think it's a nice hedge against the world ending and falling apart. You know, you look at what America have done to the dollar and what they've done to the rest of the world. And it's just, it's not a good place, right? I think having that kind of secondary angle of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, whatever you want, makes a lot of sense. And then for everybody who messages me all the time saying, oh, Pete, I've seen this new crypto, what do you think? Look, I keep my crypto holdings pretty simple. Like 99.9% of things you are going to be looking at are probably going to go to zero. So, you know, if Bitcoin wins, it goes up enough to keep you happy. So why mess around with anything else is kind of my thesis. And a lot of people think that I'm, you know, a boomer for saying that. But in reality, like, look, we're running companies. We're very busy. I don't have time to look at this latest coin that's been created out of thin air and if it's good or bad for the environment. Like, just, I just buy Bitcoin, shut up, work, buy Bitcoin, shut up and work. And I've been pretty good at that. So yeah, I don't want to ramble on with this episode. You know, I kind of want to keep it nice and short and sweet. And I think, you know, keeping it within that 30-minute period kind of gives you a nice summary. You know, as always, like, you know, we got a nice studio over here. This is kind of Dubai for you. So we're going to be creating some really, really nice content. So if you've got any questions that you want or anything you kind of want to fire in for the podcast, you know, please hit me up on Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, whatever works best for you guys with a question. And I can bring it forward. I'm seeing some amazing content right now. People like Sean Spooner, who's doing amazing stuff. Been following his podcast journey for a long, long time. It's been amazing to see his development. He's just really, really consistent and raw about it. And I rate that. So we'll be taking some lessons about how he's doing his stuff. But for me right now, fire any questions you want to go for. I want to hear from you about. If you're in Dubai, hit me up and we can hang out. But that's all for me. So thanks for listening to this podcast, and I'll speak to you very soon.